food?
Just off of Interstate 35, not far from the UT Austin campus, young mothers sit on stone benches at the edge of a small lake. Children feed the ducks and pigeons. Retirees power walk along manicured paths. This park is part of the 700 acres that used to be the city's Miller Airport. When Austin opened its new airport in 1999, it decided to transform Miller into a mixed community with stores, a children's museum, a hospital, and most importantly, housing for rent and for sale.
We are here at my house. I know everybody who lives on my block. I know everybody who lives across the street. I know
for university employee Janika Rector, buying a house in the Miller community was a chance of a lifetime. Because of its central location in a city with wildly escalating home prices, most of these go for $400,000 to $1 million. But the city requires 25% of the homes in Miller be affordable to owners who earn no more than 80% of the city's median income. So with a salary of $43,000 and good credit, Janika qualified.
I was renting and my rent was untenable. It kept going up and up. It was over a mortgage.
While Janika's 1,400-square-foot house would have sold for much more on the open market, the price for her was $189,000. She put $1,500 down. Miller's nonprofit foundation backed the sale with another $100,000 lien.
Unless I purchased in a suburb or have gotten really far from the University of Texas where I work, I don't think I could have been able to find an affordable house.
If Janika decides to sell, she can earn no more than 2% profit for each year she lives here. The foundation gets the first shot at purchasing the house so it can be offered to another affordable buyer.
If you segregate the housing, you create a community that's separated.
Dee Desjardins is with the Catellus Corporation, which is developing Miller. She's right when she says you can't pick out the affordable homes as you drive through Miller. Across the street from Janika is a house valued at about $486,000. Fronting the park are homes that go for up to $1 million.
There was a desire that the affordable housing at Miller, that they would be interspersed throughout the community, not in one place, and that they be indistinguishable. But within each phase of housing, there is a selection of affordable homes.
The affordable homes include townhouses grouped around a shared yard, condos, 4 to 6 in a building, detached homes. No matter the value, however, there's one very consistent feature: no big yards. In fact, no yards at all for some. Just 7 feet separates Janika from her neighbors.
If you have kids, of course, you may want to have a big yard. The advantage here is that we have parks, you know, to kind of make up for the lack of space. The density is great because, you know, you get to just meet so many interesting people.
The small yard concept really is a part of a new urbanist development philosophy where you build your buildings on a small land footprint in order to preserve open space.
Some San Antonio developers we talked to say building a mixed-income neighborhood like this one would be risky. Owners of million-dollar homes might worry the $200,000 home several doors down would diminish the value of their properties. But Aiden Cohen, who owns one of the pricier Miller homes, says that's not his experience.
We've lived here since 2011. Our house has gone up in value by probably 75%. I am not worried about the resale value because they designed this neighborhood correctly that you cannot identify where the low cost housing is. So they've integrated it in a way that avoids a stigma.
It all seems like the beginning of a great solution for Austin, which has been ranked first in the nation for economic segregation. But there's a problem planners didn't foresee. The county appraisal district has decided to tax the affordable homes at the market rate. So the appraised value of Janika's home has shot up more than $187,000 in 2 years.
I don't know if in 3, 4, or 5 years if it'll be an affordable home anymore.
Three homeowners are taking the appraisal district to court. Miller is trying to negotiate a solution to the tax problem to ensure the 290 affordable homes in the development continue to be just that.
Shelley's in the studio with me this morning, and in spite of the tax issue, this seems like a very progressive idea for creating mixed-income neighborhoods. Would we try something like that here in San Antonio?
Well, Eileen, it would take a unique piece of property in a very desirable area, and local government would have to play a role, as local government did in Austin. San Antonio Mayor Ivy Taylor, who is a professional city planner, thinks a more likely way to create mixed-income housing here is to redevelop the inner-city neighborhoods, neighborhoods like Dignity Hill, where she lives.
I live in a historic district, older neighborhood, variety of housing. The house next door to me sold last November for $435,000. Within a half a block away, on either end of the park, we have public housing. So I live in what could be described as a mixed income neighborhood, but I think our older neighborhoods have shown for years that it can work and that we can repopulate those neighborhoods, and I think that's our best opportunity.
Now, Mayor Taylor says the city may have to adopt policies that promote mixed-income neighborhoods. She believes that it could be a big step towards breaking the cycle of poverty in many areas.
All right, thanks, Shelley. Tomorrow, our Growing Pains project continues our report on housing with a look at how development is changing some traditional neighborhoods.